We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching from Metro Church. We hope this inspiring message will empower and enrich your life.
Why is counting your blessing so powerful? Why is counting your blessing this secret weapon that can change your day, that can change the atmosphere, that can change the world you live in? Because there's power in the tongue. It's more than just counting your blessings, it's confessing your blessings. So if you're taking notes today, this is confessing your blessings part deux. Okay? There is power in the tongue. Look what it says in Proverbs. Proverbs 18 says, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. You know, it's interesting because those who don't love it are going to eat something. It might not be the fruit of good decisions with your words, but you're going to inevitably get more of what you say. And you go, how's that even possible? That just sounds like rubbing a lamp. No, understanding that if we're saying the words of God, we're actually confessing promises and declarations over our life that God wants to bless us with. He's waiting for you to believe him for that stuff. Do you understand that's what the scripture's about? People say, well, why doesn't God just do things? Well, first of all, if God wants to see any movement in your life, or if you want to see any movement in your life, God's waiting for faith to create a movement. The Bible says that if you have faith, you could see that mountain cast away. Right? The Bible talks about how just a mustard seed of faith, it's just the smallest belief in God can change everything. And it's more than just, oh yeah, I believe. No, do you confess? Because there's power in the tongue. And so power in the tongue, we need to not only count our blessings, but we need to confess our blessings. Ephesians, I'm going to quickly run through, and I'm going to go through a different translation today just to shake it up, but we're going to reread some of the scripture we read last week so that I can catch everyone up and keep moving. Is that okay? It's got to be okay because I'm doing it regardless. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth, under Christ. In him, we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in the conformity with the purpose of his will. Who? God's will. In order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ, which you heard the message of truth, the gospel. What's the gospel? The good news of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Come on, that's some good word right there. That's a lot of word, and I want to be able to break it down for you. But I'll tell you, when we talk about counting blessings, remember we talked a little bit about this, how, it's not just the things that we would call small things that are actually big things, right? It's not just the thanking God for a roof over my head. It's not just the thanking God for the food on my table, however those are big things, anybody, right? But it's actually understanding God's promise to you before you even were here. God wanted you to know that he had a plan for you. He predestined this idea. He had this love that was so abounding, he wanted you to be in relationship with him. And so some of the greatest blessings we could ever count are actually the declarations God has, the promises he has for each of our lives. Because you know what? No one can steal that promise from you. Someone can steal that Lamborghini you worked your whole life for. Someone can break into that house that is your castle and steal all sorts of things. But these things, no one can steal from you. Only you can choose not to accept them. And so a quick recap, because I got to move. Number one, as a believer in Christ, I declare, come on, declare with me, I am blessed, right? It says in Ephesians 1:3, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. So what? We are blessed. Amen, amen, amen. Okay, number two, as a believer in Christ, I declare, I am chosen. I hate the idea of being in the schoolyard waiting to see who's going to pick me for their team. Anybody? Some people are getting some heartburn from some old memories. God chose you. He picked you. You don't have to worry about, am I ever going to be picked? He's already picked you and you're on the winning side. That's so great. Not everyone gets a participation trophy. Just the winners are going to win. And you're on the winning team. And that's exciting. I am chosen, Ephesians 1:4, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. That's a good thing. That's worth remembering. That's worth confessing, because there are going to be moments where you don't feel loved, but you are chosen. There are going to be moments where you don't feel good enough, but you are chosen and blessed in Jesus' name. And that's worth confessing over your life to change your day. Okay, number three, as a believer in Christ, I declare I am adopted. What are you? Adopted. Man, there's nothing more beautiful than to see a family adopt a child who had no home. To see a child who had not experienced love, experience love. Who had not experienced a home, experience a home in a room of their own. Hello, that's a beautiful thing. And for our loving Father in heaven to choose to adopt us so that we could have eternity with him, hello, that is a big deal. That's worth confessing. I am adopted. As Romans 11 says, I'm grafted in. I'm grafted in. You're grafted in. We get to be a part of God's family. That's worth declaring over your life, yeah? Okay, it says in Ephesians 1:5, having predestined us to adoption as sons or daughters, by Jesus Christ to himself. Number four, as a believer in Christ, I declare I am accepted. What are you? Accepted. That's a big deal. Like, you keep saying that's a big deal. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. It's worth understanding that God not only chose you, not only adopted you, he has accepted you. Now, he accepts us as we are, but he loves us more than allowing us to stay in the state we're in. He accepts us, but then he sees transformation come, and he prods you on to change. The Bible says you should know a tree by its fruits, right? And so you can claim that you're a good tree, but where's your fruits? I can be accepted in Christ, as we all are. He says, come, right? He wants you to come just as you are, but he is going to transform you into the likeness of his son, which actually was from the very beginning when he created us in his image anyway. He's just trying to do a full circle and help you find the purpose and the plans for your life. And he's hoping to get that diamond in the rough. Okay, I'll keep moving. You heard this last week. I know, some of you didn't. That's why I'm reviewing here. Ephesians 1:6 says, to the praise and the glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved. The beloved is a capital B, which means it's a name. Beloved in Christ. We're accepted because of Christ. In Christ, God accepts us. Outside of Christ, guess what? God does not accept us. That's just truth. People go, but that's not politically correct. I don't care. I'd rather be correct in God's eyes than in a morally fallen world's eyes. I'd rather be correct in God's eyes than in the mess that we see every day. I don't want the applause of man. I want the applause of heaven. And I'm going to live like that's what we're living for. Okay? And so number five, as a believer in Christ, I declare I am redeemed. Come on, I am redeemed. Would the redeemed of the Lord say so? Would you just stand up and give a shout? The redeemed of the Lord say so? Someone give me a mask wave. Well, no, you don't. You're supposed to keep your mask on. Listen, we are redeemed. What has redeemed us? The blood of Christ. What is redemption? Come on. It's an atonement. It's literally God has said, I'm going to take care of it myself. You have sinned. I have sinned. We have sinned. But Jesus has redeemed. Woo! Ephesians 1:7, in him we have redemption. Through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. You know what? Sometimes When we mess up, we've got to remind ourselves in Christ, we are forgiven. You know, because we can mess up and you should feel the weight of your sin for a moment until you cast it. Right? I believe somebody that has no feeling towards what they did, it's hard for them to turn and actually not go back. I believe you need to feel the weight of your sin, but the beautiful thing is that Jesus took it to the cross, and if we would just give it to him and say, I messed up, I shouldn't have done that, God forgive me, we're forgiven. I think that's worth confessing. God, I thank you that I'm forgiven. I thank you that I'm redeemed. I thank you that even on my worst day, Father, you chose me. That's powerful. And if you would remind yourself, because the devil loves to, as soon as you ask for forgiveness, he loves to continue to beat you up over it. He loves to continue to tell you how unworthy you are and how you should just walk away because you'll never be what God wants you to be. But the reality is you were never going to be what God wanted you to be without God. So in God, we got a chance. Come on. We've got to remind ourselves we're redeemed, we are forgiven, and now I'm moving on to a place that we have never been before, uncharted territory. Number six, as a believer in Christ, I declare I am abounding in grace. Come on, say it with me. Are you abounding in grace? I'm abounding in grace, and I'm thankful for God's grace. It says in Ephesians 1, 7, and 8, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence. Can I tell you? It's because of God's wisdom, he has given you the kind of grace he's given you, the kind of grace he's given me. It's through his wisdom, knowing I was going to need more of it. You know, I remember the first time my wife, before she was my wife, came to Thanksgiving dinner at my family's house. And, you know, as we're getting ready to eat, she asks my parents where the ketchup is. And if anyone understands, my wife doesn't just like ketchup. She loves ketchup. In an unhealthy form, in my opinion. But when I tell you she loves ketchup, I tell you that she's not happy unless it abounds. And I'm not talking about ketchup just like to dip the turkey in. I'm talking about like ketchup on your cranberry sauce. To each their own, but I'm just telling you there's a difference between liking something and abounding in it. And my wife, I remember on our wedding day, somebody had brought a private small bottle of ketchup. I didn't think it was going to be enough, but the fact that somebody remembered to bring ketchup for our wedding dinner, it was a big deal. It was a big deal. And I need you to understand there's a difference between like, I like grace and I'm abounding in grace. And my wife abounds in ketchup the way God makes his grace abound towards us. That's all I'm trying to say. If you ever come into my kitchen, sometimes I open my refrigerator door and there's like three ketchups open. I'm like, what is going on? And it was like code red. She couldn't find it. So she opened another bottle. And then the next morning she couldn't find it. She opened another bottle. We're abounding in ketchup in my house. Don't get me started on blankets. Now listen, I'm thankful that God doesn't offer us a little bit of grace. He offers us a lot of grace. Would you like more? Oh, you need more. That's not enough. You need more. Oh, and I know you need more. This is my wisdom and my prudence. You're going to need another helping. And you know what? We don't want to abuse grace, do we? We want to say, God, I want to get it right. I can't believe I'm back here again. The Bible says, as a dog returns to his own vomit. He said vomit. The Bible said vomit. Listen, as we return to our own vomit, so a sinner returns to his folly. That's why Jesus said, they're going to need more grace. And I'm thankful we abound in grace. Anybody else thankful that we abound in grace? It's so important for us to never lose sight of God's grace as the foundation of our salvation. If we don't keep the main reason for our eternal prize, we too will become like the Pharisees. We will naturally try and formulate how good we can be, and it will inevitably turn our spiritual life with Christ into a legalistic religion, not a life-giving relationship with our Father in heaven. See, we think like, you know how a lot of people will say, well, depending on how old you are, man, you know, that's how mature you are. We laugh because we know that's not true. You know, we see a lot of young people more mature than a lot of old people we've known our whole life, right? Hello. But what I would say is that when it comes when it comes to our spiritual life, we keep thinking that we are abounding in wisdom and we're abounding and that we're growing, and God's going, prepare some more grace. Prepare some more grace. Don't keep thinking, and don't allow yourself to get in a place where you think it's based on your works and look at how good you are. Because then that takes the spotlight off of how good God is and his grace, and the pride comes to grow in you thinking it's how good you've become. Nothing is good apart from our Father. Hello? Okay. Whew. It is because of Christ alone. Come on, you remember that Five Soul Last series? I've said it twice now. That's a good series, apparently. According to Scripture alone, by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, to the glory of God alone. Five pillars of our faith. And it can't be become because of our works. It has to be focused on God's grace that he chose us. He accepted us. He redeemed us. On your worst day, if you start confessing these things, you will start to see the sunrise. You will start to feel lighter. You'll start to believe. Come on, we got to say it till we believe it. Someone says, that sounds like brainwashing. No, that sounds like building faith. That sounds like saying what God has declared over my life. I'm going to say it over my life until I begin to believe it. Maybe you need to turn down the world's volume and turn up what the Holy Spirit's trying to say. Come on, counting your blessings. Come on, you got to count your blessings. You live in a covenant relationship, the new covenant with Christ, where his grace abounds to you. You ready for number 7? As a believer in Christ, I declare my eyes are opened. Come on, are your eyes opened? We've got to declare my eyes are open. What does that mean? It means I once was blind, but now I see. I get the opportunity to live in the mystery. It's a mystery to so many, but I'm living in it. I understand God's grace. I understand his goodness. I understand the gospel of Christ. I know that it's because of Jesus I have a chance for eternity with God the Father. Huh. Having made known, it says in Ephesians 1:9, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. He's made known the mystery. You live with eyes wide open. You live understanding that today matters for eternity. But because you know Jesus, you have the ability to be with him for eternity. And that's this amazing secret that we don't want to be a secret. It's a mystery to those who have ears but don't hear, and to those who have eyes but don't see. But it's not a mystery to you, and so help others find Christ. We live with the ability to share the faith, to share what we know. That's why the Bible says we end up winning. Why? Because the blood of the Lamb, talking about Jesus' sacrifice, and the word of our testimony. Come on. I love how the English Standard Version says, having the eyes of your heart enlightened. You know. Man, some days you don't know anything but that. Some days you look around and you're just, everything is a mystery. Everything is a question mark. You don't understand where this is going to come from or how that's going to get paid. Or you know what? The biggest question mark, I got an answer for that. And God, I know you're in all of this, and so I'm going to trust you. I'm going to do what I can do, believing you're going to do what only you can do. I'll meet you wherever that point is, but I'm thankful that I know you. Who's thankful they know God and can actually ask him for something, actually pray and lift him up and ask him to be in the situation? I am counting my blessings, that my eyes are open, that I know what Jesus did for me, that because I accepted what Jesus did for me and claim him as my personal savior, I don't live blind to the spiritual and eternal, but instead live within the mystery of others. That is the will of God. Others don't understand it, but we do. And that is pretty amazing. So rather than being frustrated with those around you, count your blessings that you know Christ and pray that their eyes will be open too. We're going to need to be praying a lot in the next coming weeks, aren't we? Just in general, there's continual, as it's been the last month, there's just unrest. And we're praying that that will become peace in Jesus' name. Hello? Okay. So thank God every day that you know him, that you are known by him, redeemed by his son Jesus, that you are adopted into his family. Thank him that you are living with knowledge of him while others are still in mystery. Number eight, as a believer in Christ, I declare, say it with me, I have an inheritance. Say it with me, I have an inheritance. So if you have an inheritance, that makes you an heir. So that means, based on what the scripture says right here in Ephesians 1:11, it says, in him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. Look at, I have an inheritance in Christ. You need to say that. I have an inheritance in Christ. You have to proclaim that I have an inheritance in Christ. I have the ability to know that not only am I adopted, hello, not only now am I adopted and have become part of the family, I now get to accept the inheritance that comes with being a son or a daughter of the Father. Crickets. I don't think you have any revelation of what you have. If you can sit here and hear that and not be encouraged, that's scary. All of heaven has become an inheritance for you. You at home, all of heaven is becoming an inheritance for you. Yay! God help us! We've got to be excited about something. You've got to remind yourself, wake up, church! I can be excited that God has an inheritance for me. I don't just come to church. I don't just leave church. I am the church. And because I am the church, I get an inheritance with Christ. I am a co-laborer with Christ. What he has is mine. So what I have, I will give to him. Hello? Whew. Are you awake? Yeah. Colossians. God help me. Colossians, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. Titus 3:7, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Look here again. Because of grace, we have become heirs. We have an inheritance in heaven, and we should be thankful for that. It says at the end of the scripture here, it says, you are marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Stop acting like you have nothing. Stop acting like you're just waiting for God to do something. Stop acting like if God would only answer this one prayer. What God has already offered to us, if he never did another thing for you, you should be eternally grateful and should be so thankful that he even knows your name, that he chooses in his own wisdom and prudence to give you more grace. Come on, we've got to relook at it. We live in a culture that just expects things. You are so blessed. I am so blessed to live in America. You are so blessed, but don't get it twisted. What God has given you, you didn't deserve. I didn't deserve. So we better find some grateful nature. We better count our blessings. We better confess our blessings. We better be so thankful what God chose to do for you and I. Number nine, as a believer in Christ, I declare I am sealed with the Holy Spirit. I am sealed with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1:13, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In him also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, marked in him with a seal, as the NIV says. God's Spirit dwells in me. It is a seal of relationship of God with me. In my darkest hours, I can call upon him and he answers me. People say, well, what separates you from the world? Well, hopefully the way you love, the way you give grace, the way God gives grace to you, hopefully that separates you. Hopefully your works, you know, hopefully the fruits of the Spirit that are active in your daily life, hopefully all these things separate you. But can I tell you, in the unseen world, in the spiritual realm, you are marked. You are literally separated. And can I tell you, that's also why the demons love giving you a hard time. That's why the devil loves messing with your stuff. He loves messing your world up. It's easily, you're marked in the supernatural. And we can thank God that he is our shield. He goes before us and prepares the way. He prepares a table in the midst of our enemies for us. He is our rear guard. We can thank God that he is our protection. But just know, in the spiritual realm, you're marked. You are guards. Not one of those tiny little made in China stickers. It's literally a fingerprint. It's a seal. It's a marking. And we should be thankful for that. God's Spirit dwells in me. See, we need to count our blessings, not just that we have on this earth, but firstly, what we know and are, that we are known by God and that the Father knows us, that we know him and that he knows us. And if you've had that moment of revelation, knowing Jesus is the Son of God, that he did come to this earth, that he did save us, and that you did say yes to his love and his mercy, you too are a son or a daughter of the King. You're marked. No election can change that. No president or leader of the house can take that away from you. No earthly struggle, no other country, no overpowering realm, no conquering empire. No one can take that away from you. No earthly struggle can pluck you from the hand of God. This is a big deal. Let's begin counting our blessings as we first consider what redemption means. What the salvation offered by the Son means for eternity. Are you ready for my last point? Number 10, as a believer in Christ, I declare I will take heart. I will take heart. Why are we counting our blessings? Why? Because I have the ability to take heart regardless what this world looks like. I am thankful that I know Jesus, and people go, what are you talking about? Come on, let's just get to John 16:33. I have told you these things, Jesus said, so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Someone says, well, that's not in the main text. It's in the Bible, and it's so important I had to include it in us counting our blessings. Because today, tomorrow, the next day, inevitably you're going to run into something that makes you lose hearts. You're going to run into something that wants to steal your hope, that wants to steal your joy. And one of the declarations that I'm so excited about making is the fact that I can take heart, that I will take heart because of who Christ is. Because he's already overcome the world, I can take heart. There have been some people over the last 4 years that are saying, every day, I need to take heart, because they see it one way, and there are people entering the next 4 years and they're saying, I just need to take heart. Can I tell you, Jesus has overcome the world. Yeah. Jesus has overcome the world, and because he has, I can take heart. Because he is my King, he is my leader, he is my God, he's my Redeemer. I can take heart, and I will take heart. I will count my blessings that there's nothing new under the sun, and that Jesus has overcome it all. There's nothing new, and he's already won. Regardless of what happens in the next month, in the next 2 years, in the next 10 years, regardless, I don't know when Jesus is coming back, but I'm going to take heart until he does. I'm going to take heart. I will continue to count my blessings that I am counted in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen, anybody? Heaven's roll call has my name because of Jesus Christ. If you find yourself exhausted, anxious, depressed, and losing heart, Jesus tells you, take heart, because he's overcome the world. So my question is, what are you focusing on today? If you're not counting your blessings, you're going to lose hope. I want to challenge you to think on the blessings God has given you rather than the hand you find yourself holding right now in life. I don't know what you've been dealt, but I know that God redeems. I don't know who has rejected you, but I know that Jesus has accepted you. I don't know what hope you've lost, but I know that my Jesus has chosen me. He's accepted me. I have so much to be thankful for, and so do you if you're in Christ.
We hope you've enjoyed this teaching from Metro Church.